Dogwood Tom, entitled Lord Vomita Dave, The Dwarf Incarnation. Chapter 19. Lord Vomita Dave begs charity from Bali Maharaj. The 19th chapter describes how Lord Vomita Dave asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Shukracharya forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vomita Dave's request. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vomita Dave to be the son of a Brahmana, told him to ask for anything he liked, Lord Vomita Dave praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities. And after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give him the land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Shukracharya, who could understand that Vomita Dave was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vomita Dave. Text 1. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vomita Dave, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. Text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmanas, who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true. They completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family and specifically to his grandson, Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prashanta. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, sujukena nai, ye Krishna tattva veta, se guru hai. Quote, whether one is a Brahmana, a sannyasi, or a sudra, regardless of whatever he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. End quote. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8:128. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship Vamanadev also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. So we're learning here that Vamanadeva, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has appeared in the form of a Brahmana boy. And Bali Maharaj is a Kshatriya, a member of the royal order. So, the different social divisions and different divisions of persons in the different kinds of activities are allowed to acquire wealth in different ways. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Chatur Varnya Mayashrastam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. He's set up the system of varnas and ashramas. So the varnas are the brahmanas, the spiritual leaders of society, the kshatriyas, the administrators and rulers, the vaishyas, the business people and agriculturalists, and then the sudras, the workers. And in a perfect Vedic civilization, the different varnas would get their income or sustenance in different ways. The brahmanas were allowed to live on charity. And as we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see there are different kinds of ways in which they can accept charity. But the basic principle is the brahmanas, because they are giving spiritual knowledge to society and also various kinds of material knowledge, they are allowed to live at the expense of others. In other words, they can accept charity. The kshatriyas are allowed to collect taxes. They have some position in society. They are rulers. They're in control of different activities. So for their maintenance and for the welfare of society, they're allowed to collect some taxes. And in an ideal Vedic society organized according to Varnashram principles, they would take no more than 1/4 of a person's money or income or wealth in taxation. So that would be a maximum of 25%. Of course, in the age of Kali, the governments have gotten a little more greedy and they take more than that. And it said because of that, people are very disturbed. And that's one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And then the Vaishyas are engaged in economic development activities. They're engaged in finance. They're engaged in trade. They may be producing agricultural goods, which they are allowed to sell, and then they can keep the profit from their financial and trading activities. And the Sudra class, the working class, they are in a Vedic civilization meant to serve the other classes in different ways, and they are meant to receive maintenance. Their bare necessities of life, comfortable necessities of life, so they are entitled to maintenance, to be maintained. They're entitled to have some work, and they're entitled to maintenance. So in a Varnashram society, that's how the different Varnas get their income. And then this also applies to the ashramas. The ashramas are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So brahmachari or brahmacharini means student life, celibate student life. So they are not meant to be earning income or taxing or like that. They're meant to live on charity. And also the vanaprastas, the retired people, and the sannyasis, the renounced people, they are also meant to live on charitable contributions. Only the grihastas are supposed to make their own way if they're not brahmanas. So that is how the whole matter of income and maintenance was done in a varnashram society. So this Vamana, incarnation of Lord Krishna, he's appearing as a Brahmin boy, so he has the right to request charity. And the king, the Kshatriya, Bali Maharaj, he's obliged to give in charity to a Brahmana. And he's prepared to give quite a bit. Of course, you know, Srila Prabhupada makes this interesting statement in the purport. Here, His Lordship Vamana Dev also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him everything he wanted. So it's a little humorous in a way, because we're going to see that the 3 paces of land that he's asked for are not going to be 3 ordinary paces. So what the real lesson here is at least appear to ask for a little bit. And then, according to your capacity, take. But so we're going to see that this 3 paces of land that he asked for, really, I mean, his paces are very big, we're going to see. So sometimes in the Vedic cosmology, we see these kind of things. Like we talk about a day of Brahma, but a day of Brahma is not an ordinary day, like 24 hours of celestial time here on this earth planet. A day of Brahma is actually very long, 4,320,000,000 years. So in the same way, a step of Lord Vamana is not like an ordinary step. An ordinary step would be no more than 2 or 3 feet. Just like, you know, if somebody asks, I'd like a little space to do my service here in the temple, just 3 steps. Fine, we can accommodate you. But then if you were able, like Lord Vamana Dev, to increase your step, like the first step Lord Vaman took encompassed the whole earth. The second step he took encompassed the whole universe. So there wasn't any place to put his third step. So at that point, he actually arrested Bali Maharaj. You say, you promised 3 steps of land. You've only given me 2. There's no room for any third step, so you're in violation. So he arrested him. Of course, Bali Maharaj was very submissive and said, well, you can put your third step on top of my head. So, of course, the whole purpose of this exercise was Vamana was trying to get back for Indra the kingdom of the demigods that Bali Maharaj had captured. So he's doing it in a very interesting way. You know, he's getting the kingdom back from Bali Maharaj. He's going to give it back to Indra. But he's also going to give Bali Maharaj something. He gives him the Sutala, subterranean heavenly planet, where he remains to this day. And the Lord actually agrees to be his doorkeeper there, the guardian of that place. So at that time, Prahlad Maharaj also comes into the picture, as we're hearing here. He is going to be the instructor and advisor of Bali Maharaj. He actually comes when Vamana Dev arrests Bali Maharaj, and he offers him some instruction and prayers, and the Lord is very satisfied with that. So elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports that Prahlad Maharaj exists simultaneously in the Sutala subterranean heavenly planet with Bali Maharaj and in one of the Vaikuntha planets with Lord Nrisimhadev. So he's simultaneously in both places, according to that purport. So the brahmanas are allowed to live on charity, but according to Srila Prabhupada, they should request, they should not ask for anything more than necessary. So we see that devotees, they lead very simple lives. We're living the charity of society, so we're not taking more than necessary. And Srila Prabhupada said that devotees who are, you know, living within the society, you know, who, it's not that all devotees do that. Some can maintain, some maintain themselves in their household or ashram. And as we're learning in the purport here, that's a respectable position. Srila Prabhupada says, even if a devotee remains in grihastha life, and does not renounce material possessions, he should still understood to be prashanta, sober. So there are different types of engagement in householder life. One can be, you know, doing brahminical services within the temple as a householder and be maintained, you know, by the temple, or one can be a householder maintaining himself from the outside economy. But if they're engaged in devotional service, they're equal. Because ultimately, Krishna is maintaining everyone. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vididati kraman. There are unlimited number of eternal spirit souls, and Krishna is among them, the supreme, and he is actually maintaining all of the others. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, I provide for my devotees, I provide the necessities for their practice of bhakti yoga. So in one way or another, Krishna is maintaining everyone, even the non-devotees he's maintaining. You know, there are so many people in Los Angeles County, and Krishna is maintaining them all. But he's taking special care of his devotees because they are acting consciously in his service. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Balaram?
Hello, hello.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class and commentary, Prabhu. So, Bali Maharaj ki jai. So, I'm pretty sure that most of the devotees here, after hearing how Bali Maharaj surrendered to the Lord, they want to feel, you know, the excitement of, wow, if I was there too, I'd probably follow the example of Bali Maharaj and surrender whatever the Lord asks. So we fast forward everything. Now we're in Kali Yuga. We're born in Kali Yuga. And our avatar is Lord Chaitanya. But unfortunately, we're not able to personally see the Lord as Bali Maharaj was able to ask the Lord what he wants. So in our introspection, in our individual situation, how would we know what Krishna would want us to do in this age?
Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshanaha. We should, in order to know what Krishna wants from us, we should learn from Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. And there are different kinds of spiritual masters, Shiksha gurus, Diksha gurus. There's our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who is the guide for the entire society and everyone in it. So from Krishna's representative, we should learn what Krishna wants of us. And, you know, from... Now, Krishna is also present within the heart as the Chaitya Guru, but Srila Prabhupada said we should check whatever indication we're getting from Krishna within the heart with Krishna's external representation as Guru, you know, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you know, the instructions of the followers of Srila Prabhupada who are authorized to give such instruction. So in that way we can learn what Krishna expects of us. And it's a lifetime project, you know, trying to learn what Krishna expects of us. And ultimately, if the process is carried to its ultimate perfection, we understand what our service to Krishna and the spiritual world actually is. Because everyone has some unique spiritual relationship with Krishna that's eternal. And gradually that will be uncovered as well. But that's our lifetime project. And everything that we're doing is subordinate to that. You know, the whole reason any of us are here is because ultimately we're trying to find out what Krishna wants. We've come to understand that we can't figure out ourselves what is in our own best interest. We've all decided at one point or another we need some help in deciding what it is we're really meant to do, who we really are. I mean, everybody out there is trying to figure out how to become happy, what their real self is, but they're being misguided. And many of us were similarly misguided. Yeah, but we've decided that here in this society, we have the best chance of learning what it is we're meant to be doing and who we're meant to be doing it for. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Prabhu, do we have any information of how this incident of Vamanadeva taking the three paces was perceived? I know there's that one picture in the someplace, I believe it's in one of the Bhagavatams, of, you know, Vamanadeva expanding, and was it something like that, you know, like Mahima City, that he just expanded his form? And because, I mean, if you actually stop and think about it, which I know a lot of times I don't, how did he really do it? What happened? What was everybody seeing there at the time? I mean, were they just taking his word for it? Or did they see Vamanadeva expand into some huge form and kind of go around the world? And then, you know, is there any information about that at all whatsoever?
I think, yeah, there were paintings in the eighth canto. Wasn't there a painting in the eighth canto of...
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. There's one of him kind of like expanding in size or something.
And those paintings were approved by Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, he was present. Yeah, and he approved those paintings. So as far as I can tell, that's an authorized way to envision it. It's the, in other words, in terms of seeing with the eyes, that is a good way to envision it. Of course, we are supposed to be Shastra Chakshush, see through the eyes of Shastra. And by regularly reading and contemplating that pastime and performing devotional service and purifying our consciousness, gradually we can come to the point of understanding these things, not just in intellectual terms, but with some actual realization. But for the current purposes, I think those paintings approved by Srila Prabhupada are probably our best guide for how to envision these things. Okay, somebody new. Balaram had another comment, but Satchidanoy.
Prabhu, thank you very much. I like the answer that you gave to Balaram. I just wanted to add that to that question of Balaram that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishtar. That in this age of Kali, since you mentioned Kali Yuga, in this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the incarnation of Krishna, and one can associate directly. That means directly. You were mentioning that Bali Maharaj saw Vamanadev directly there. We can also see directly the Lord, provided that we chant the holy name and we have that realization. And one who does this, he says, he can be delivered.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.